I don't know why we don't talk about it like this. I don't know why it's not expressed like this. I realize that as a born-again believer, I'm an outpost in dangerous territory. I never looked at it like this. I never looked at it like that. Because I possess the Holy Spirit. Because you possess the Holy Spirit. You are dangerous territory. Yes, God made this world. And the cattle on a thousand hills is his. The grasshoppers, everything that's been created is his. But you have to understand that God created you, mankind, in such a position that you gave your authority over to his enemy. You gave his authority over. You gave his authority over to his enemy. You gave what was precious to him as a creation, and you gave it and delivered it in the hands of his enemy. Humanity gave what God gave to humanity, to his enemy. So the Lord is on a mission to redeem that was stolen. See? So when he places his Holy Spirit inside of your spirit, you become an outpost for the Spirit of God. A place where he can reach into this stolen vessel, this stolen realm. Not that he doesn't have the power. It's just that humanity gave over its authority. So it's trying to reclaim the authority that was given to humanity, that it gave to his enemy. So God has been on an espionage mission for quite some time. Because see, the whole has already been judged. The whole has already been deemed as being in a concept, as a concept, in rebellion. That's been established before the councils of God. That there has been a rebellion. Because there's been a rebellion, like any rebellion, it has to be dealt with. Especially of the I am the living God. If he is the living God, why wouldn't he deal with rebellion? Disobedience. So, when we come to Christ, when the Lord brings us to him, because we have to be drawn to him, and those that he draws to himself, because the whole system, and there's a bloodline of rebellion. It's just not the act of rebellion. There's the bloodline of rebellion that has to be replaced in every human being before he can be even dressed properly. Why? Because of rebellion. There has to be a different covering over your spirit, man, than the life of your father or mother, which gave you, has to be something higher over you. Something higher over your will to live other than the perpetual cultural experiences. There's a desire for God. A desire to want to know Him and live in Him. Pushing past it. The smoke and mirrors and the fanfare to those that are called, that are that remnant. The Lord is speaking to the spiritual remnant that's in the earth right now.
4:3.
Arm yourself with my will. Arm yourself with my life. Arm yourself with my mind. Put on my mind. And I will walk out and in you in the earth. See what it says, put on the armor. It means to put on Christ from your spirit to your soul life. It means dress your soul life in Christ. That's something I can conceptually do. Dress your soul life in Christ, in the mind of Christ, in the heart of Christ. Dress who you are up in His clothing. That's called having a Lord. That's called having a God, too. See, many people, I've come to understand, people believe in God. They say, well, that's enough, sure. I believe in God. Doesn't that count for something? But see, in many ways, to believe in God is fundamental. To be moved by that belief towards Him. Is fellowship and worship. See, we believe in God, and that belief in God moved us towards Him. To want to know Him, to want to live in Him, to want to live in His Son. Because that's the closest I can get. Because He walked the earth like I did. He was rejected like I was. He was imprisoned falsely like my heart has been. Like your heart has been. Like everybody that's lived on the face of the earth is oftentimes the product. Of the culture of death. So that's what we know. But He comes from a culture of life. So I'm giving my heart, my mind, my spirit, my soul over to something that is greater than me. But not just that I believe. But I have a worship relationship to it. I have a fellowship relationship to it. I have a personal relationship to it. It is intimate. Me and not just my belief. See, I'm about to slow this down. Many people will say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. What does that count for? They believe in God, they believe in Jesus. But the belief in a God and this Jesus doesn't promote the spirit of fellowship in them. It doesn't promote the spirit of yearning and longing after him. It doesn't promote in him the spirit of a desire to know him. It doesn't promote in him and in you the desire to follow. So he doesn't promote in that individual, that thing inside of them that reaches out. So I guess I'm saying is that I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And that belief promoted something in me to want to know what it was that I believed in. I wanted to know what this man that I believed in, I wanted to know who he was. I believe that Jesus died before I was saved. Before I was born again, I believed that Jesus died for the sins of the world. I just believed it. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know it. I had heard it and it made sense to me. Somebody got to die for this. So there can be something else. But I didn't know him. And then he introduced himself to me through a series of tragedies in my life. And he said, I'm right there. Choose me. Another tragedy come in life. And he's like, he's right there. You know, there's always doorway moments when you can choose Christ. And many of us, we understand, we know them. That moment when you made a decision that changed your life for the horror that it might be, good or bad. The opportunities missed because you made the wrong turn and met the wrong face at the right time. And your whole life is plunged towards a direction because you're tripping over your own spiritual faults. The iniquity that exists in a bloodline, the soul trips over. The soul trips over the insecurities. The soul trips over the perpetual you know, I didn't really know what iniquity was for a long time. And the Lord began to unveil it to my spirit. And he said something like this. He said, iniquity is the continuous perpetuation of a thought that does not come from my spirit. Good morning.
How are you? I'm good. You over here by yourself? You over here with Carol?
Yeah.
Where's Carol? Horrible world out there.
Every day is a force. It's an experience. It's a life. And you can live this life, this day, this force from your spirit. You can say things that are true and real. You can approach things from the mind of your heart that's been cleansed by your spirit. See, when we begin to truly live in this thing, it's not that everything will just be this wonderful experience and you'll just feel this love all the time and you'll just be this just joyous person. No, what it means is that every emotion you have, everything you feel, you have a place to deposit it in. You have a relationship with your spirit because your spirit has a relationship to the Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit is sitting there at the table of your spirit waiting to receive what your soul has to say about its experience at the hands of our God's enemy. So let's not deny the Lord. I saw in the spirit a table, a great table laid out. I saw in the spirit a great table laid out throughout the world. And I saw people in lines walking up to the table and depositing their misery, depositing their pain, depositing their suffering, depositing their neglect, depositing their every attempt to destroy them, every attempt to destroy them by God's enemy, every attempt to destroy them by God's enemy. I see a table laid out in the earth and humanity coming to these tables to exchange their molestation, to exchange their rape, to exchange their murder, to exchange their robberies. And give me something in its place. Give me a whole heart for where it was broken. Give me peace for where there was unrest. See, you just can't exchange it. You got to get something for it, see. And you got to put what you get forward in its place. See, I was neglected as a child, so I'm coming with the burden of neglect on my back. I'm coming towards the table with the burden of neglect on my back, and I'm dumping it on the table. I've released my burden, but now I need something in its place. I need your burden. So I take his, he said, my burden is light. Here, I give you my burden, son. So he gave me his burden. He gave me his burden. His burden was for the lost. I no longer have to carry my burden because I now get room and energy to carry another burden. His burden. Whatever that might be. It might be for the lost. It might be for the sick. It might be for the homeless. It might be for those that need to know who God is. He will give you another burden if you give him your burden. And continue the practice. This is not a one deal shot. This is not a one shot deal. It's a continuation of a practice of continuously handing over and delivering to God the thing that his enemy has tried to destroy you and your family and your friends and your community and your nation and this world with. Not to make this world a better place. Don't get it twisted. But just so that God might become wealthy. Because the world has already been judged, see. You don't know where you are, born again believer. You're on enemy territory. The born again believer is on enemy territory. You're on an enemy surface. The born-again believer is on enemy territory.